We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
With us in studio from Murfreesboro Fire Rescue Department, we have Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark McCluskey. How are you this morning?
Doing good. How are you, Scott?
I'm good. Well, good. It's been kind of a big change in weather out there.
Oh, yes. It was a little cool this morning when I come out.
It was freezing out there. Well, what does that do for the fire department as far as water? And once it does get down to freezing, does that cause any problems?
Well, if we have a deep freeze for 2 or 3 days, it affects, of course, residents if their pipes are exposed. But where we have our biggest problem is in commercial buildings that have sprinkler systems. Some way maybe the sprinkler system got exposed to this cold weather and it freezes, then when it thaws, it, you know, of course, busted the line and starts leaking and sets the fire alarm off. You can always count on a few of those, you know, when we have a real good freeze.
And by the way, our phone number, if you have any questions you'd like to text in that are related to Murfreesboro, all you have to do is text 615-893-1450. Well, one of the big questions, I guess, of the morning that two people texted in was about the federal freeze on money and the federal government shutdown and all of that. Does that in any way trickle down to the local level and impact Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue?
I'm sure there's some areas that it would affect the city, but far as the fire department, no. It does not affect us at all.
Now, what about if there was a fire at a state forest or something like that? Would Murfreesboro be called in to help out?
Oh, yes. You know, of course, we help out with Stones River Battlefield. That's considered federal grounds here. But anything that's federal or state in the city, we still give it the same protection as we do our citizens.
Now, one of the firemen, actually as a fire marshal, was called in to help out with a big investigation. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, it was the McEwen County. They had the explosion that's been probably been close to a month ago, you know, hit the news. But we had our local assistant fire marshal, Chandra Walmick, was called to go up and help with some of the investigation. She's got some specialized training in that, far as the explosives and fire investigation. So she was called up to help out with the investigation, along with a lot of other people around the state of Tennessee.
Now, she actually helped out in recovering some explosives and helped in identifying some of the victims there.
That is correct. You know, it was just they had a briefing before they went out into the area where the building was and what they were looking for and the type of explosives they made if they were still active or inactive. And they did actually find an active explosion still had the, with the, what she's telling me, you basically just froze, called in it on the radio, and they come in with the bomb techs and to take care of that. And of course, during that situation, you know, there was still some body parts in that area, and they came across some of those also.
And that'd be rough. I mean, to be a part of that investigation or to help, you know, uncover things in that investigation.
It is. You know, you don't like to face it, but, you know, in cases like this, it does happen, and somebody has to do that job, and that's what we're here for.
Now, when they find explosives that have not yet been detonated, do they do that on site usually?
They do. If you remember, they put on the news because they was going to have a fire and it's explosives going off in that area, that it was controlled, so people in the area would not be worried about that. Maybe another explosion happened. But, yeah, they do gather them there on spots. And it just depends, too, on every situation. Of course, the state comes in with their bomb squad and remove explosives. They got containers they can carry them in or do it on site. There's several different ways they can do it.
That'd have to be a pretty hefty container in order to explode a device of some kind in there.
Yes. I don't think they explode the device in that container. It's for transporting it to somewhere and unloading it safe to explode it somewhere else.
I don't think I'd want to be a part of that.
No, that's, you know, it's like the old T-shirts, you know, the bomb squad guys, if you see me running, run too, or something like that. And yeah, that's something I don't want any part of.
But, you know, your guys, they come across horrific things that the average person thankfully doesn't see every day.
That is correct. You know, it's part of the job, and you never know what you're going to come across, and we're the ones that are going to be there when it comes up.
And I don't know if you saw that movie. I think it was called Code 3. It's supposed to be kind of sarcastic, but yet there is a lot of truth to it.
It is a lot of truth. You know, there's so many different ways people can get hurt and things happen. Being the firefighter, you're the one that's going to take care of that situation. So you just never know what you're going to run into.
I'm sure often surprised at some of the ways that people can get hurt.
Yes, very surprised. It's just, you know, the freak accident sometimes that you see, it's like, I can't believe this happened.
One of the questions we have here is, Murfreesboro seeing any increases in electric vehicle fires as more, I guess, are purchased?
We have discussed electric vehicles. I do know some surrounding areas have had issues with them. We have had none that I know of far as big issues with electric vehicles, you know, catching on fire. Not in the city of Murfreesboro. Not saying that it's not going to happen, but we have taken some measures in case it does to prepare us for that. That fire technology fighting too, far as electric vehicles, is changing daily too on how you deal with them.
And I know that person said more are being purchased, but everything I've read, it looks like less are being purchased.
I think so. It's from what I've seen on the news, you know, I think I just saw we're over in Spring Hill, maybe that plant's shutting down or slowing down, or with the electric vehicles over there, the battery plant or something.
Yeah, and that battery plant just opened a few years ago, yes, I think.
You know, I think the trend was going that way at one time. Now I think it's kind of turning back the other way. So,
you know, there's something about, if you're into cars, having a real gas engine, you know.
It is.
Something about it, I don't know. It feels more reliable, and it may not be, but it does feel that way.
You know, if you look back over history, how things change, and I'm sure at one time, people were thinking these gas engines are the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, I want to stick with my horse.
And, yeah.
You know, then who knows what the next engine will be or the power source.
That's true. It could be nuclear power one then, day.
Exactly. You know, there's still a lot of things that are nuclear powered, and it seems to be good. It's just being able to control it.
Yeah, make it safe in some way.
Exactly.
Now, as far as the ISO rating here in Murfreesboro, what is that rating and what does that mean? What goes into that?
The ISO rating is based on a lot of factors around the fire department and what kind of service we can deliver, how well we are trained, our water supplies in the city, amount of firefighters we have on the scene, how many we have riding the truck, our stations. It's just a lot of factors that go into it. They rate us between 1 to 10, 1 being the best and 10 being at the bottom. And we have held a ISO 1 rating for last several years. We went from, at one time we were at 3, moved up to 2, then we've been at a 1 for at least 7 years, I believe, now.
And I guess codes and things like that go into play as far as when new neighborhoods are built?
Yes, it's all factored in. Where the hydrants are going to be, how many you got to have, how far apart they are. And of course, building codes enforces the fire codes on new construction and houses. Our actual fire inspectors does not inspect each house. The fire codes fall under the codes. Ours are more in commercial business, but all that has a factor in it. And we've done really well with maintaining that one, and that saves people on their insurance. I can't get the exact figure. It's you know, maybe on a average size house here in town, it may be $100-$200 a year, but where it really saves is where these commercial businesses come in here. You take a business like Amazon, you know, it may save them several thousand dollars a year, and that's an attractive thing for these types of businesses to come to Murfreesboro's our ISO rating. It's not the only thing, but it's a big thing.
And then collectively, I mean, you're looking at millions of dollars saved.
Oh, yes, when you look at the whole city.
That's a big number. Another question we had here, what's the current average response time for Murfreesboro Fire, and is the department trying to reduce it even further?
Yes, that's something we work on every day. You know, you can only get from A to B so fast in the fire truck or a vehicle, so we look at other places to cut response time down. that's when the 911 call comes in, how we can make that get to the station, to the right unit supposed to be responding. That's where we can save time. We look at that daily. We work with our dispatch center here in town, how we can save time on that. But our average response time is down around 4 minutes. You know, just depending, of course, that's the average. Sometimes it may take a little bit more, but we have a good response time. And that also goes back to the ISO that we were talking about, is our response time. And the also in that, too, on medical calls, our guys, as soon as the tones go off, the men and women, they have 60 seconds to get out of the building. On medical calls, fire calls, it's 90 seconds. That's the times that are set by NFPA for a good response time. But we look also in that, improving that with our men and women at the department. You know, I know you have 60 seconds, but if you can get out in 40 seconds, that's even better, in a safe way.
And you're talking about sometimes these calls come in the middle of the night and, you know, your guys will be asleep.
That's correct. They can be middle of the night, everyone sleeping in the fire station, and a call come in as a fire. They have 90 seconds to get up and get fully geared and get on the road.
You know, that'd be hard for me. I miss my alarm sometimes and sleep through that.
It's no time for a cup of coffee before you get up, after you getting up.
That's right. You can't stop at Starbucks or anything.
No, not at all.
So it's up and go.
Yeah. And the reason the medical call is a short amount of time, too, they don't have to put on the fire gear. So that's the reason for fire calls, you got 90 seconds, and medical calls, you got 60.
Now, are all firemen trained, medically speaking, as well, or do you have a certain percentage who are and a certain percentage who you want to be trained?
That's one of our requirements coming in. We offer the class to go to, but you're required to become an advanced EMT. That's the level that we require to maintain employment at the fire department.
Now, is that typically what's the same as far as what you'd find on an ambulance?
Yes, it is. There's, well, two different levels. You got a basic EMT, then you got an advanced EMT. And the advanced, you can start IVs, push a few drugs. It's just a little bit more advanced, and that's what we require. Then the next step after that is paramedic, which I think right now we have, it's over 30 paramedics, and they're stationed at each station. So it's a good chance that our medic's going to be in our scene, any kind of serious medical call. But also we have a medical safety officer that responds to all critical calls, and they're all paramedics. So we always have on the critical calls one of our paramedics on scene. And speaking of that, too, we got a new program we're just kicking off this year. It should start after the first year. The city, we're going to start sending possibly up to 6 people each year to go into paramedic school.
And where do you find a lot of your guys? I mean, are they coming from the military, from other fire departments? Where are they coming from?
Well, you know, it kind of changes around. You know, at one time with the fire service, I say one time, still is a little bit, there was a lot of firemen chasing the dollar, if you want to speak. And a lot of them are changing from departments to other departments just to live in different places. So you were getting a lot from other fire departments. Now it's kind of settled down now to where people have found a fire department they like, that pays better, and they're staying there. So now we're getting try to recruit from our local high schools here. We get a lot from the surrounding counties coming in, but our applicants coming in.
Is there a better fireman? I mean, is it somebody who came from another department, but you have to retrain them to Murfreesboro rules and regulations, or is it somebody who's new?
When you do a lateral, someone that comes in with all their training that is required by us to have, sometimes, you know, it's kind of like the old saying, what do you call a doctor with the D average, a doctor? You know, the fireman's the same way. What do you call a fireman? You know, so we bring them in. There's some things that they may be good at from different areas of the United States. You know, like coming from California, a lot of those guys have forestry fire background, don't have a lot of interior fire attack, so we have to work with them in that. With that, medical, a lot of times it's all the same. Just protocols, we have to go over our protocols versus what they're used to, because there's certain things we can only operate under our protocols. But a lot of times, you know, the fire service when you bring in a new lateral person, we may have to retrain them quite a bit and stuff, but they still make a good firefighter. They've got that experience, know what to expect.
It's got to be, I guess, like you said, different, you know, in every state. I mean, the West Coast may be used to forest fires, so
it is.
I can see that.
It is. It's a lot of difference. You know, you get on up north, you got the way the housing is built, most of them have basements and they're heating sources that are different. There's a lot of different things. You know, you take you hear a lot about New York. They're totally different way of fighting fire. You know, in Manhattan, they only have one house in the city of Manhattan. That's the governor's house. The rest of it are high-rise buildings. So that's a total different kind of firefighting, you know.
And the New York area, I always heard there's like a almost a waiting list to become a fireman.
It is. It's a big pride thing there to be, and it's very traditional to go through the family. It's, you know, several generations of families that work at the fire service.
Man, I bet it's literally 24/7 hands-on.
Oh, it is. You know, your city gets only so big, and you got fire stations where you need them, but their population is so dense, you can literally walk by one fire station and two blocks later you're at another fire station. Wow. For the just simple reason that they have so many calls, they need those many stations.
I can't imagine that many calls, but I mean, you have nights where you're that busy too.
Oh yes. You know, it's we run over 2,000 calls on average a month, and you know, when you start breaking it down per capita, all fire departments are just as busy as the smallest fire department is the biggest fire department. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I want to go to Nashville, be a lot more action down there. But when you break their calls down versus our calls, we're making just as many by our population as theirs when you break it down.
And then you have, of course, different fire shifts, different hours when compared to cities like Nashville. And I've always heard, like in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, the shifts you work here seem to be a lot better than some of the bigger cities.
Yes, we have been, ever since I've been at the fire department, we have been on the 24 hours working, then we're off for 48. Averages out to 58 hours a week is what we work. There are so many different schedules out there now. You know, the EMS side in Nashville, they only do 12 hours shifts. The reason to do that, because of the fatigue setting in, you know, making, you know, because you're going to be running the whole time you're there, and doing that for 24 hours solid without a break, you can make mistakes. That's one of the big reasons that they do 12-hour shifts. There's some fire stations that'll work 48 on and 96 off. A lot of the younger guys look at that and it's like, that's what we want to do. But, you know, there's been some studies showing, too, in the fire service on fire departments that are busy, that 48-hour shift is not good for the people. You know, on that second day, if you've been up all day on the first shift, you know, you start making mistakes and stuff.
Yeah, I guess, and the same could be said in a lot of ways for those 12-hour shifts, too, that some yes. stations work.
And that's true, yeah.
That would be rough.
Mm-hmm. When you, yeah, there's a lot of sleep studies and stuff done with fire departments, how it affects us, you know, all the way down to how your bedrooms are made in the fire station. Now the norm is kind of everybody gets their own bedroom where they can get in there and be quiet instead of having to sleep with somebody that snores all night. Yeah. Right next to them. And, you know, one person's getting good sleep and the other one's not.
I can see where that'd be a problem.
It can be.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that Murfreesboro faces right now as far as the fire department goes?
You know, one of them is our growth. That's a big thing right now. You know, you think you're going to level off and our calls stay, but they continue to go up. The more people, the more calls you're going to have, which we're addressing that. You know, I do see a time to where we have a station with one truck in it and it's covering this territory, but it's going to get so dense, it's going to need two trucks in that station so it can take care of the calls in that, that territory. It's come to that. You know, right now, this is a challenge that we're having. We just had, we're in the process this week, it'll probably get done, ordering three new fire trucks. It takes 24 to 36 months to get those in, so you got to plan ahead. And we had an unfortunate accident on one of our rescue trucks that actually caught on fire, and it's going to be totaled out. It's 4 years to get another one.
Wow.
So we're looking 4 years being not having this rescue truck. Now we have a reserve that we can use, but it takes 4 years to get a new one in.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
Now, are there some calls where the whole, you know, fire department at one particular station, they don't go out where they leave one truck behind?
We have a couple of stations like that, and the truck that they would leave behind is a specialized unit, like Station 401 Medical Center has a truck with the boat hooked to it. So if we have a water rescue call, maybe the crew off the rescue will get on that boat, or maybe a couple of them, and take both of those trucks. Now, far as we do have a standby fleet for when stuff is out of service. Our fleet service that does a great job in keeping our trucks up. If we have a truck that may, let's say, I don't know, new tires put on it, it's going to take a day. We have another truck we can bring in its place and use it until the frontline truck gets its new tires.
So there's like a fire department service team where all they do is service trucks.
Yeah, it's the fleet run by Tommy Miller. Not only do they service fire trucks, they service every city vehicle.
Like the school buses, all that stuff.
They don't do the school buses, but if I'm not mistaken, the last time I heard that Fleet Services had maybe 1,205 different vehicles they maintenance. Now, that's counting all the garbage trucks, maybe a backhoe or bulldozer, all the police cars. So they stay busy.
Man, I can imagine that.
Yeah. You know, just changing the oil along, you know, is a heck of a job.
Now, I know we've talked in the past about the most common reasons for house fires being the kitchen fire and problems in the kitchen. Is that still the ongoing case?
It is. You know, unattended cooking is one of the number one things of starting fires in the house. But also with this time of the year coming on too, different types of heat you got to watch for. You know, for the majority of people, they have a central heat and air unit. You go in there and turn the heat on and it kicks on and you're good. May have a little smell for the first time. We get several of those calls. You have dust builds up on the heating coils and it burns it off and it kind of fret. But your old baseboard heaters, you still got people that use space heaters and stuff like that. Whatever type of heater it is, in the summertime, you may have pushed something up against it. Now it's getting cold, and a lot of them have thermostats in them. When it gets so cold, they kick on. Just take extra precautions on those. Make sure they got a good clearance. You know, don't leave space heaters unattended. You know, don't leave your house with the space heater on. You know, it needs to be attended. But this time of the year, we will end up having some type of fires related to heating.
Circling back around to the West Tennessee explosion and all that, this person's asking, do we have any businesses here in the Murfreesboro area that could cause that risk of something exploding like we've seen there?
I'm thinking, I'm not aware of any that does what they were doing there. There may be one out in the county. I'm not real sure about that, but we do have some places that are not necessarily explosives but could be dangerous. It's not only explosives, you're looking at hazardous material, stuff like that. Of course, you'd never know what could happen. You know, that explosion there, a grain corn grain bin can do the same thing. It's just the dust and it can cause explosions. There's so many things that can cause explosions, but far as manufacturing of like explosives here in town, no, none that I can think of.
And that place, it was in a fairly rural setting. I mean, it was spread out over like 1,200 acres as well. I mean, it was a big area.
Yeah, and that's kind of the purpose of where it was at too. To get it, you don't want to build, the city codes would not allow something like that to be built in the downtown area with the possibility of danger of what happened there.
Yeah, that would be risky for sure.
Very, very sure. You wanted to be out in the rural area in case something like that does happen, that the damage is limited.
Now, we are always hearing about new buildings that may be built in the downtown area. You know, there's projects that some have been put on hold. Some have, you know, totally gone off the books.
Yes.
Not there anymore. But you hear about the idea of a developer coming in, building a 10, 15-story building, which would make for a second 15-story building. Mm-hmm. If that does happen, then is Murfreesboro ready for that?
Yes, we are. You know, here's the thing about it. Your aerial trucks can only go so high. you know, I remember this years ago. It was Mayor Joby Jackson asked one of our firefighters when it was building the 15-story building. He's like, do we have anything that goes that high? And he said, no, we don't. He said, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to let it burn down to the seventh floor, then we're going to battle it, you know. But that's not the case. All your high-rise buildings, once they go up over a certain amount of floors, you have internal waterways that we can hook to, and we have to go up in the building and fight the fire from that floor. There's a lot of precautions and fire preventions put into those.
Yeah, I would hate to be inside fighting a fire from the interior on something like that.
Yes, and, you know, and that's the only way you can do it. And you know, it's mentioned in New York a minute ago. New York, if you go back and look at the history of it, they were building high-rises out of wood, you know, 100 years ago before there was fire codes.
Yeah.
And that's the reason you see a lot of high-rise fires in like New York or some of these bigger and older cities, to where a newer city, you know, the chances of having a high-rise fire is a lot less now because of the type of material. You know, it's usually concrete and steel now versus hard lumber. So sprinkler systems put in, have standpipes. There's a lot of fire codes built into high rises.
Man, I can't imagine a 15, 20, 25-story wooden building, but I guess
it happened about years ago because, I mean, the steel and the concrete was not the way to go at the time.
Man, that's wild. I would hate to be inside of one of those, but it makes me wonder, like, the Peabody Hotel in Memphis. I mean, yes. Is that a wooden structure?
Well, you know, we had, and I cannot remember the name of it, but it was right there close to Vine in Spring, the old hotel. It was like 5 or 6 stories tall, and it was all wood construction. And it also had the staircase right in the middle where you could stand in the middle and look up all the way up to the top. And it burned down late 80s, and it was all wood construction. And once it got going with that staircase, the way it was made, it was like a chimney. It just took right off. It's been several years ago, but that was an old wood construction building, and once it got going, it was no stopping it.
I'm glad we don't see that anymore.
Yes. There, you know, of course, your squares, you know, 2 and 3, 4 stories up there, you still have some old heavy timber construction up there.
I was going to say, I've seen some newer apartment complexes, and they're wooden framed, you know, and they're 4 stories tall.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. After the third floor, if it's 3 floors or more, it's got to have a sprinkler system if it's residential, so that puts your fire protection in too. And not saying that wood construction is dangerous. Now we have fire stops built in them. You know, it's just so many fire codes that come along when they're framing it up.
That's good to hear,
protect that.
I had another question here. It's asking, can you explain what types of calls firefighters respond to the most as far as wrecks, medical, or is it something else?
Medical is our number one thing, all types of medical calls. I would say probably car wrecks would be the second and fires third. You know, each one of those categories has a different lot of types of calls in them, but you know, a medical call can be from some very simple to very serious. Then a motor vehicle accident, a car wreck, is also a medical call too, to where it can be several different things. You could get a call for a car wreck. You could have extrication involved. You could have, of course, you're going to have the medical taking care of the patient. Then there's a possibility of being on fire. So it's like 3 in 1.
Man.
And we only count it as one, but, you know, that's the possibilities.
Again, Fire Chief Mark McCluskey with us this morning. We are going to take a short break, and then we will be right back to talk more about Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue. And if you have any questions, feel free to text those in, 615-893-1450.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, 2 people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that, and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, my name is Diane Davenport. There are many reasons why I love Adams Place. One reason that we wanted to move here was to make it easier for our children. My husband and I know we are getting older and things do happen. And you need to make these choices and come before an emergency occurs. And then come and have the good life when you get here.
This is Terry Deal. Come tour Adams Place and discover living a dream in your senior years on Memorial across from Walmart. Call us at 615-904-9111.
Gather around the radio and the computer, kids. It's the Recycled Minute. Rocky the Raccoon's here with another clever way to make recycling fun for everyone.
Rocky the Raccoon here, thinking green as always.
Here's Rocky.
Another idea for what to do with plastic bottles. In addition to recycling plastic bottles, you can also use them as planters for vertical gardens. You cut them open lengthwise and then you hang them on a fence. And then you fill them with soil and small plants. Great for growing herbs, flowers, or strawberries. Looks pretty good, too. I'm Rocky the Raccoon, and I'm out of here.
And that's today's Recycled Minute with Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRightTN.com.
Here's another good recycling song.
I'm a trashy little bottle. Don't throw me away. Give me a brand new life. I've got more to say. Paper cans and cardboard to recycle right. It's all on you.
On air, online, and on the phone. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Fire Chief Mark McCleskey is with us today from Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue. And if you have any questions, feel free to text those in, 615-893-1450. Now, this question, I think we pretty much answered it, but it's asking about Murfreesboro firefighters responding to medical calls and what level of medical training do they receive? And you were saying, again, a pretty big percentage have full medical training.
Yes. Well, all of our personnel are an advanced EMT, which is the same as the county EMS service. And we also have several paramedics that, the all likelihood, there's probably going to be a paramedic on scene too.
So that pretty much answers that. And then most common fires, we've got, usually the fires that are most common, you're saying the kitchen fire is number one.
Yes.
And then as far as things you respond to, a lot of accidents, a lot of medical calls, but medical, yes, calls being number one.
Medical calls, yes.
Does the department still offer free smoke alarm installation? If so, how can residents get one?
We do. That now, well, you can call our department at 615-893-1422, and we can get you lined up to get that. Excuse me. But also through the State Fire Marshal's website, you can request them and they send them to us. But we still do offer that for the people that do not have them. This is a program, I think when we first started, when the state and us, we started this program years ago, it was kind of a misguided. You know, a lot of people that live in a newer house have, well, you're required by fire codes, that the, like we was talking about codes department, your smoke detectors have to be wired in series, and if one goes off, they all go off. So if you're in a newer house, that's a different type of smoke detector than what we give out. The ones we give out are battery operated, and we come in and put them on the wall. So if you do not have a smoke detector at all, you know, this is what you need to get. But what I'm trying to say, if you got newer smoke detectors, these type of smoke detectors are not going to hook in with the ones you have now and work on those.
And because we just set our clocks back, you were saying it's a good time to change the batteries
as well.
It is.
It is. That's always been the kind of the standard, you know, when you change your clock back, change your battery and your smoke detector.
Now, how many firefighters does the city department have, and are you about to hire more or are in the process of hiring more?
I think our total number is 246 total employees. Some of those are civilian and administrative people like myself. Right now, we are fully staffed. We should be hiring. We got to make a couple promotions, which that always trickles down to where you got to hire somebody. But right now, we're basically fully staffed. And we have a new station coming online. It'll probably be the next year and a half, 2 years. So we want to hire before this station's ready. So hopefully maybe by next July, we'll be hiring several new recruits to come in. So
with new stations, do you typically, whoever's in charge of that station, is it typically somebody who came from another station here locally?
We have a bid system that we use. It kind of takes the control away from me, myself, and saying, Scott, I want you at this station, you know, just because, but you may not want to go to that station. But so we do this bid system. So when we get a new station open, we will, that station will be open for bids. So if you're at one station and you're wanting to move, you bid for that station. And we go through that process. Then the opening spots that are left over, that's where our new people will slide in.
And then as far as like pay raises, are those decided within the department, or is there like city HR that is in charge of that?
Well, our city manager, Darren Gore, with his team, of course, they look at, you know, a budget for the city, what they can do. Then he makes a recommendation to the council and the council votes on it. Now, he may talk to me or other people in each department to see where we're at on raises and compare. You know, this goes with, you know, we had an issue with turnover, you know, that was part of the discussion on raises a couple of years ago. So he takes in all that information and looks at how the economy's doing and everything and presents that to the council, and the council votes on it.
And then there's, I guess, natural built-in raises as well that just there automatically
is.
Go in.
That is correct. We're on a 15-step program. Like if a new hire comes in and he obtains his EMT basic, he gets a step raise. Then he gets his advance, he gets another one. We got about four steps that they can earn stuff that they have to have, and some of it's extra stuff, and it moves them up in the pay scale.
So you've got some that are built in, and then some have to be approved by city council.
That's correct.
Okay.
We have a built-in 2.5% step raise each year, but that don't necessarily mean you're going to get it. Then the council will vote on not only that step raise, which fortunately has been there every year on this system, and what type of cost of living to go with it.
And we're already out of time. I didn't realize that. Murfreesboro Fire Chief Mark McCluskey with us this morning. If anybody has any questions about Murfreesboro Fire and Rescue, just check out the Facebook page or
yes,
go to the website.
Yes, we're on all social media on the city webpage.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for joining us.
Hey, I enjoyed it, Scott. Thank you.
Right now that time, 9 o'clock, you're tuned to WGNS Murfreesboro. More news, local news coming your way right now.